Holly G with the Golf Insiders. We're moving into the second week of the Florida swing. We can almost smell the azaleas around the corner. So I had to sit down for a few minutes with one of our favorite Golf Insiders, Gary Van Sickle, reporting this week for Pro Golf Weekly. Hey, Gary.
I thought the azaleas were with the Masters. Are azaleas big in Florida, too?
Augusta's right around the corner. We can feel it.
Yeah, you got that right. I just did a story yesterday about there's a thing called Taste of the Masters from Masters.com, and they bring all these items from the Masters that are so legendary, like pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches, and you can get you get a bunch of Masters logo cups, Masters wax paper to put the wrapped sandwiches in. You know, just to have a big party at your house, and it's delivered, like a few days before the Masters or during the tournament, wherever you want it. If you want to have a unique Masters viewing party of some kind, you can order a case of the Masters and get this stuff with the authentic. Yeah, just even get some cups. I know guys who would just about kill some. Get a pimento cheese sandwich from the Masters. People like those things, but people swear by them, so it's a tradition at the Masters for a lot of people.
Let's talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational Orlando Signature Event. Nick Dunlap. He's going to be teeing off all by his lonesome, Gary, at 7:45 tomorrow. That's got to feel a little weird.
I wish you hadn't got me started on that, but I really hate the small field, 69 players. Why wouldn't you add, if you got an odd number, why wouldn't you just add another guy? When you're going to play in twosomes off number one, why wouldn't you just add another guy? That's ridiculous. But secondly, and I can't claim to speak for Arnold Palmer, but there's no way he was in favor of smaller fields without cuts. His idea, you know, here's a quote, he and Jack, when they got the tour going, they wanted it to be fair for everybody. And this new setup now with the signature event with 69 guys, I mean, how's that different from LIV? It's not. So, Arnie, I don't think Arnold will be happy with this tournament setup this year. And I don't think there's any excuse to have an odd number of guys. Just get somebody. Who's next in line? Let him in.
Well, it did seem oddly quiet out there today, Gary. And
yeah, it doesn't feel. We had these World Golf Championships, which is what these amount to, with 70 or 75 players. They never felt like real golf tournaments. It's quiet. There's not enough stuff going on. It's not like you have even 120 or a big field of 156. You know, as the week goes on, when you have 144 players, 156, guys are shooting 64, 65, jumping up the leaderboard from all over the place. Stuff's happening all the time. You have 70 players, a lot of times not much happens at all. Or let's say one guy does get hot and go low. Well, if 144 guys are playing, probably more than one guy will get hot. But it's only 70. You might have a guy with an 8-shot lead after two rounds, and then what do you got? You got a runaway. So, look, none of that matters if at the end it's close and it's exciting and you get some marquee names in there that people want to see. They won't care about any of that stuff. But it just strikes me that somehow people see some of these tournaments this year and there's winners they're not familiar with, and they go, oh, it's a bad tournament. Well, a guy's got to start somewhere in his career. Nick Taylor can't become a star until he wins 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Right.
So instead of, you know, do you like golf or do you just like Tiger or Rory or something? I think we saw that with Tiger a lot, where there's a lot of Tiger fans and maybe not a lot of them are really golf fans. You
sure.
know, a golf fan likes to watch a close finish and it's exciting and it doesn't matter who's involved. But we got people crying this year, all these tournaments are lousy because the wrong guys are winning because they don't know who they are. Well, maybe you should find out who they are, and maybe you should, get into the finish a little bit more. We've had some good finishes this year. Some of these guys have, and a lot of them have good stories. we just don't know them. And this is normal. You know, we went through the whole 80s where people were going, oh, where's the next king of golf? Nobody's dominating. It takes a while for somebody to win enough to become a star. He's probably got to win a few times before he public has to get to know him before they get into him. So that's a challenge. And that's normal in golf. So now the PGA Tour is trying to legislate star winners by keeping everybody else out of the tournament. I guarantee you that's not what Arnold Palmer would want. He wants to let the best guy win, and you're only letting 69 guys play. Good chance the best guy's not the guy who's the best player that week. He might not be here, but we'll never know.
LIV Golf officially withdrew its request to be considered for the OWGR. Have your thoughts on this and where we stand.
Well, I think it indicates that that framework agreement that the tour had with the LIV guys, that thing's dead in the water. I think them saying, well, we don't care about that now. I think that's basically them saying this means war. And I think you're going to see LIV really ratchet up the money or try to lure some more guys away, or I don't think there's any chance now that there's going to be an agreement and they're going to make a deal. Jay Monahan, some money from this other group to fund the tour, so now they don't need LIV money. And I still think Monahan's plan is to wait them out and exterminate LIV. And LIV is going to, you're not going to, first of all, Monahan, you kind of betrayed the tour by all of a sudden making this backdoor agreement after saying you would never do it. And then after you make the agreement, you turn around and get this, and you basically renege on the framework agreement. So now you've gone back on your kind of what you said twice. So I think the Saudis are fed up. They're going to ratchet it up. And I don't know in what form that's going to take, but they might decide to go with 20 or 25 events. They might, the PGA Tour has kind of given the European Tour the short end of the stick. It's become a feeder tour for the U.S. They don't have that money. It's a big problem in Europe. I won't be surprised to see the European Tour cut a deal. What if the LIV events became the European Tour? Mm. Now you've got LIV as your part of the Federation of Golf and all that. You know, now that's a whole new world. If I was the European Tour and I needed money, I'd probably have to suck it up and say, well, why don't we just take their money? Their money's good. And we can have these $4 million first prizes for events in Spain and Scotland and England and, you know, all over the world and make the DP Tour not only a world tour, but a really big deal. And get rid of that team golf and expand the field sizes and let these guys play for some real money. Who does LIV have that really the PGA Tour would really like to have back? Well, other than John Rahm and Cameron Smith.
Let's not forget Koepka, Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka. Yeah, you're right. There's three names. You really need Dustin Johnson back. So that's what the PGA Tour has. They can mint new stars.
Tell us your favorite Arnold Palmer story.
Oh, there's a million. He was at the Palmer Cup, which is the college version of the Ryder Cup, and my son was on the team, the U.S. squad, when he was in college. And we're out there, and there was on the practice round day, there was storms, there was rain, everybody had to come in. I'm like, well, gee, what are they going to do? So they got a room, the big room with all the, I don't know how much, like 12 or, well, it's the U.S. against Europe. So all these kids come in, they get a room, they get Arnold Palmer up there. And this was 2008 or 2009. And for entertainment, they just had Arnold Palmer talk and, you know, eventually took some questions. And it was great, but he said, you know, this is at Cherry Hills, by the way, in Colorado, where he famously drove the first green in 1960 when he went on to win the U.S. Open. So he says, well, I'm going to be out the first tee watching you guys, and better be hitting driver in that green, or I'm going to walk over your bag and grab it for you. So, all right, fine. It was a funny joke. It was a great afternoon for all those kids. They get to the tournament. Morning round goes. Afternoon round. Arnold's sitting there. My son's on the first tee. He's out there wilding his 3-iron. He looks at Arnold Palmer and says, pulls his 3-iron up. He goes, just kidding. And Arnold busts out laughing like he used to do. And he said, well, I was about to get up and go to your bag. And everybody on the tee just went wild. And Mike Fonseca got up and knocked it on the green and made 2-putted for birdie.
Always great to spend time with you, Gary Van Sickle, this week reporting for ProGolfWeekly.com. Thanks so much, my friend.